Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Janet Kunster, host today for Ingredients to Online Marketing Success, and our topic is how to be your own brand, what that means, and how you can stand out from the competition. And I'm so glad that our leading lady today is Ann Bennett, the CEO and chief creative force behind Renegade Branding. Hi, Ann. How are you today?
Hey, Janet. Thank you so much for having me. I'm great.
Oh, I'm so glad that you're here. And just tell us a little bit about who you are and what Renegade Branding is.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, my background is 25 years in magazine design and art direction, storytelling, and how to create a page turner for people. And I know that's something that you love as well.
Yeah.
And so I have a very deep visual background in fine art as well as graphic design. What else can I tell you about me? I'm a rebel. I've never followed the rules. I never have, and I never will. So my cornerstone of my business is really based on how can you build a business that's completely aligned with who you are and what your values are and what breaks your heart and what pisses you off. And that's how we build a really unique brand.
So how do you go about doing that? I mean, we all know about brands like Nike and McDonald's and all that sort of stuff, but you're talking about something completely different.
Similar but different, yeah. I mean, I think the big boys, what I call the blue chip guys. I mean, Nike, certainly their slogan, "Just Do It," is very personal.
Mm-hmm.
And it invites non-athletes to become, like, they put on the Nike tennis shoes and they become, you know, the weekend warriors, you know, or they become the athletes. When you see the ads for Nike, they're very, very inspirational. And they're
mm-hmm.
always about even having a regular guy shooting a basket going, "Oh, I'm no Michael Jordan," is one of their very famous ads. So I think, you know, they what they're doing, smaller entrepreneurs or people that don't have, you know, national brands can actually do as well. And even McDonald's, when you think about McDonald's, they have, I call it iterate to awesome when I'm working with my clients. Like, just begin and then iterate things as you get clearer and clearer and clearer about who you are and what you stand for. But even McDonald's, when you think about McDonald's, they have changed their logo over and over and over the years. If you go back and look at
right.
the original Golden Arches, right, or the Ronald McDonald thing or any of that stuff, and then with the African Americans really loving McDonald's, they started to call it Mickey D's.
Right.
Which totally cracks me up, right? It's like an urban slang that's become popular. So I think
right.
It's an interesting phenomena, the brand, because the brand grows as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to build, it's kind of a what I call a paradox. You need to build a really strong brand when you're starting out. Like, a lot of people think, "Oh, I'll do that later." But you actually need
right.
to build it now and then iterate it as you grow, the brand grows. And if you ever change, for entrepreneurs, you know, they start out in a particular direction. Like, I was looking at a book that Deepak Chopra wrote originally about a gulf and transformation. It totally cracked me up. He wasn't always, you know, he wasn't always like Mr., you know, scientific Eastern philosophy. He was trying to find his way. So he just started with what he thought would get attention, you know, which is like, oh, golf. Everybody likes golf. Let me wrap my philosophy of life and health and longevity around golf. I mean, a lot of people don't know that. It's really very funny to look at.
Yeah, it is. And I think that you hit it right on the head when a lot of people start out in business. They have a general idea of what they want to do, and they start going down the path, and it's not even close. Where they end up is not even close to where they started.
Yeah, because they're developing. You know, they're developing.
Right.
And you probably see this a lot with your clients as well. You know, they come in and they're like Janet, you know, do all this marketing and messaging for me. And you're like, well, have you written anything? Do you know anything about your brand? What are you trying to, what do you want people to say about you when you've left the room, when you're not even there?
Right.
And people skip that step and run to, which is understandable, I think. You know, people run to sales, or they run to, I've got this program I'm trying to sell, but then they actually don't know how to distinguish it and have it stand out in the marketplace.
Yeah, and that's, you're absolutely right. That's one of the things that I run into all the time is I'll start asking questions about who are your customers or who are your clients. What are you trying to help them with? And I get the deer in the headlights look because they haven't really thought about it that much, and they don't know what kind of impact they want to make in the community and in the marketplace. They just want the logo and to promote whatever they're promoting. They're not looking at the psychology behind it.
Right, and I think that's the big pitfall. That's a big pitfall.
Yeah.
Because people think that a brand is a logo or a tagline or colors for your website or any of that, which is all supportive visual material. But the essence of the brand is really what I call your vibe. It's the essence of who you are. It's your the easiest way to get to it, I tell people, is write out a list of what pisses you off and what breaks your heart. And immediately when you write a list of the things you care about or the things that just rankle your, you know, they're upsetting to you, you start to see, oh, I really value human rights, or I really value animal rights, or, you know, what really makes me mad is the beaches are a mess, or any of that stuff.
Right.
You start to see that's different than the person next to you that might do the same thing as you do. But they'll have a different, their life experience is different. Their point of view is different, how they see things. And so when we work together, I'm really digging with my clients, and I'm sure you do this as well, I'm really digging with my clients into the inner workings of who they are and what their opinions are and their points of view are, and allowing those things to, I call it illumination, translation, and magnification, where we bring it out in such a way that that becomes the cornerstone of what they're about. So they have something to stand on, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's really important because when it comes to marketing, one of the things, and I'm sure you've said this to your clients all the time, is that people don't buy from companies, they buy from people. So they need to be able to relate to you. And if you can build that into your brand, that will help you stand out.
Completely. It's like, you know, we're in this time, wow, this crazy time, right, of uncertainty and change. And I feel that we're ushering a new economy, and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's the perfect time to actually be building a business and getting building a brand and getting in relationship with people and letting people know, you know, what you care about. And I think when you don't have that way of connecting, we're in this high-tech, low-touch society. And it's getting even more high tech, right? Because now we can't go out. We got to stay home or whatever. And everyone's going, well, how do I do what I do and put it online? And that's all great stuff to be asking. It's all great stuff to be doing. But without the foundation, without the brand and the message, it doesn't matter if you're online or offline. It doesn't matter if you're networking or, you know, you're on a telesummit. You've got to be able to communicate in really concise, bite-sized, I call them head-whipping hooks, you know, things that people remember, things that people will, it'll stick in their curiosity, so they'll want to find out more about you.
Well, and on top of that, you need to know who you're talking to so well that they'll say, how did you get in my brain?
Yeah, I really love that. I think people don't spend enough time. Like one of the big entrepreneur mistakes is not spending enough time actually asking people what they're interested in, what their problems are, what they'd like to buy, that kind of thing.
Right.
I call it like ninja market research.
Uh-huh.
Being able to ask questions and listen, because entrepreneurs, we're like crazy ADHD creatives, you know. We just are creating all this stuff that we know is really great, and then we wonder why people don't buy it or they're not that interested in it. And it's like, oh, well, you know, you're communicating. I had a client recently who said, I have this really great stuff that I do, but when I communicate, nobody understands what I do.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you got a branding and a messaging problem. People don't get it. You're talking your own language, you know, or we used to say, you know, you're smoking your own dope.
Yeah, exactly. We tend to have our own shorthand, and nobody else understands that shorthand. And
even when we're talking about branding. Branding, people don't understand what that is. So I don't even like to talk about it. I like to talk about what makes you unique, what makes you different. I have I start with these very simple archetypes of the nurturer, the innovator, the disruptor, and the geek, which just gives people a simplification of making identification of where they fall the most. And then taking that and starting a conversation around, well, what would that look like in your copy? What would it look like in your photos? Well, like all the supporting element then comes behind, oh, I'm a nurturer. I assume you're either a nurturer or a geek.
Right. Yeah, a little bit of both.
But I know.
And actually it works really well together.
Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic. So the geek is like quirky, practical. They love systems. They're centered. They're intense. They love structure. They love to plan, which works perfectly for you in your business. And then the nurturer is warm and spiritual and kind and generous and caring and into community, which, of course, you know, in what you do, Janet, everybody needs to – feel cared for, and they don't want to feel like they're an idiot.
Exactly.
Even though I'm sure they don't understand anything about what it is you do, but you take care of them, you know, so it's all perfect.
Right.
My favorite characters are the geeks, because being a creative myself, I need that support. I need somebody that's like, okay, let's reel it in. Here's the structure. Here's the format. Here's how it works. The stuff that I find, you know, almost like rocket science. It isn't really, but it feels that way sometimes.
Yeah, it's the tedious stuff that you don't want to do, and you don't even want to know how to do it. You just want it done.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And And that's very powerful. I always say, you know, the geeks are the people who, they will get the job done no matter what. And that's why we love them. And we want to have them as people that we're around or that we've hired to do something for us, because we know they're going to get it done in the most efficient way possible. It's super important. A lot of my clients fall into the disruptor and innovator category. There's some nurturers and there's some geeks as well, but I would say generally they're big thinking people who want to make a big impact, that have something that they would like to serve the world with, a transformative type of coaching business, or they're authors and some therapists and people that are genuinely heart-centered and want to make a difference with their work. So they kind of have a tendency to go, and a lot of them are nurturers, but they do fall in the disruptor, innovator, because those two are very close, and most entrepreneurs, I think, are rebels in general.
Well, yeah, you kind of have to be. But and how do you what are the three things that you have to do to stand out and capture your audience?
Well, I think the first thing is kind of what we've been talking about. You must have a point of view, a point of view that is different than all the points of view out there. Like, you know, we hear things over and over and over, and after a while, we just go to sleep because we don't, it doesn't really stand out. So the first thing that a person wants to look at is kind of what I was saying, what pisses you off, what breaks your heart. You can also look at, I call them empowering questions. So questions like, why do people like me? What do my friends actually see in me? Because if sometimes we can't see our own eyebrows most of the time. Right. And so we don't sometimes know exactly why people want to work with us or what people find fascinating about us. And it takes, you know, we do exercises and work. Right, I do a lot of writing exercises around these topics. But for someone just starting out, they could actually ask their friends, or they could ask their clients, if they have clients, why did you decide to work with me over someone else, right? Because people are making choices all the time. And I think what you were saying earlier, Janet, to point, is people buy from other people. And what I always say is they buy because of you. They want to be with you. They want to be around your energy. They want to know what you know. They identify with you on a almost a cellular level. When you build a really brilliant brand, the brand does a lot of the selling for you, because it's like Nike. If I aspire to be an athlete or to be the best, I'm probably going to go be attracted to Nike, just do it.
Right.
Then one of the other brands. There's lots of shoe brands. I don't actually wear Nike because they're too narrow for my
feet. Yeah, I agree with that one.
You know, they're just but, cut a certain way.
Yeah, yeah. But and that's the thing, is that there's enough business out there for everybody, and it depends on who you connect with and who you resonate with, and that's who you're going to do business with.
Yeah, it's very, very important right now, more than ever. I used to always be this way. I would walk into a store, and if I didn't like the salesperson, I'd walk out of the store. I wouldn't buy from that store. And the same thing goes on now. It's like, you know, people, sometimes they can't identify exactly what it is, but they're either going to be attracted to you or repelled, which is actually what we want to do building a brand. We want to have them make a decision, right? And people don't like to make decisions generally. So you want to be that strong in your point of view, like, oh, she's such a nurturer. I got to be with her. I got to be around her. I want her to help me. Or, you know, she's such a badass. I got to be with her. Or, no, that's too much. Or, that's too little. Whatever, right? We all have these preferences that our personalities relate to certain types of people. And when you're building a personal brand, that is the key. That is the key. To just to circle back on what distinguishes you from other people. How do you stand out? It's the 1% of your personality that we actually dig into so that it is about you. You know, we talk about all the time as business people and entrepreneurs that, oh, it's about my clients. It's about their language. It's about their problems, da-da-da-da-da. Yes and no. I believe that it's actually about you first. It's about you. It's about what you believe in. It's about what you want people to aspire to. It's about your personal story. It's about all the stuff that has to do with you. And then we attach it to the brand in the sense of like what your actual service is. So like I might be selling shoes, for instance, because we're on tennis shoes. And my take is that it's all about the environment. Oh, take Toms. Let's just take Toms, for instance.
Right.
Right? Toms, you buy a pair of shoes, and I don't know if you ever bought them, but they're really not that comfortable. But that's not why I'm buying the shoe. I'm buying it because he takes another shoe and gives it to a poor person that can't afford a pair of shoes.
Right.
I think that's super cool. I align with that in my heart and my soul and what I care about, my values. So I'm going to buy a Toms because of that.
Yeah. And I think that's important, particularly today, because we're all becoming more socially conscious and we're more aware of our surroundings. And people do know what they like and don't like and are willing to support those companies that like or don't like what that's in alignment with how they feel as well.
So yeah, people are a lot more conscious about things are made or what the animal products or depending on your, you know, what kind of food you like to eat.
Right.
It's even more than what kind of food you like to eat. It's a bigger thing. Like, the vegans are like, we should just eat plants, you know?
Right.
And other people are not that way. So I think it's a separation. It's a distinction. Like I have a client who's an interior designer and her whole thing is cruelty free. Like bring your love of animals and life into your home instead of having it be two separate things. You can actually, you know, so there's fabrics and there's things that look like leather that aren't leather and things like that. And that's what really distinguishes her from another interior designer. It's just not a pretty home. It's more. It's much more. And I think in a personal branding, you want to start to think about that when you're designing your service. It's not, people aren't really coming for the service. I tell people that all the time and they want to kill me, but they're actually coming for a couple of things. They're coming for something bigger than themselves that you represent. So for me, you know, my whole thing about being unapologetically you and be a rebel and a renegade and all that kind of stuff is much, much bigger than just branding.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, let's make a pretty website or let's do this. It has a deeper meaning that can really be used in it's all about being yourself. How to make money being unapologetically you is really one layer. The next layer is really about loving everything that you do and how you do it is unique, and that's great. That's when the competition is leveled because there's no other Janet and there's no other Ann on the planet.
Right. And we each have our unique story that needs to be told, and that's part of the backbone to our branding.
Absolutely. Your personal story and stories, you know, there's a brand story, there's personal stories, there's we connect with other people when we feel understood by them. That kind of goes back to your languaging. You know,
right.
How do you language so that people want to be with you? It's when people, when you're big enough in the sense of you're bright enough or you stand out enough, people will seek you out because they'll see that authenticity in you and they're going to want to work with that. Or
right.
They'll be repelled and they'll go, oh, that's just too much. I just want to sell this stuff and that's just, you know,
well,
I don't really care about
other
people.
Well, yeah, and see, that's the thing is that we, as people, we instinctively can tell who's being authentic and who's not.
Absolutely.
And that goes a long way to building that trust that you need to have with the people that you're working with.
Yeah. I think, you know, gone are the days when people want to follow somebody who's perfect, who is like, oh, I'm going to tell you how to make $1 million, and I've made $1 million, and I'm not telling you that to impress you. I'm telling you that to impress upon you. And I'm like, oh, please. If I hear,
yeah.
It's so old school, right? And nothing wrong with it. I don't want to say something wrong with it, but it's just not, to me, what we're craving is real people. Real
right.
people that we can relate to, that make mistakes. One of my favorite mentors was always saying, I only get it right 20% of the time. 80% of the time I fail. But I'm still making good money. I'm still doing well. So, you
right.
know, it gives a person, particularly people that are coaching or doing services for people that way, it gives people a place to go,
yeah.
Wow, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to know how to do everything. And
it also shows our humanity, because if they see us make a mistake or fail or do something that we shouldn't have done, they say, oh, they're just like me.
Right.
And it endears us to them.
Mm-hmm. It's like vulnerability is power.
Yeah.
And I think that we've all been trained, obviously, in our culture to have it be the other way around. You know, power is like kel ultima, the thing that
yeah.
everybody wants, right? That's the attracting, the bright light of attraction. But in this day and age, I disagree. I think that people are really looking for the real deal. They're looking for people that have integrity, that keep their word, that do what they say they're going to do, that the stuff that they are teaching people actually works, you know.
Right.
And people
exactly.
are not always I was on this great webinar this morning with somebody I'm considering working with, and the thing that I really liked about her was she was just like me.
Yeah.
Like she's that real and that authentic and that grounded.
Yeah.
Telling people, well, I tried this and this is actually what happened. The real truth about what happened. Not like, oh, I made $1 million, but you forget to tell people I spent $2 million to make the million.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because that doesn't really look so good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. And
yeah,
we are almost out of time. I am so glad that we've had this conversation. This has been wonderful. I want to give our audience an opportunity to get in touch with you. So how can they contact you? Do you have something that they can learn more about you with, or what would
sure.
you like to do?
Well, I love to always invite people to talk with me. I love to connect with people. So you can reach out to me at annbennettmarketing.com in an email.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you'd like to, I have something I like to give people, really help them to begin to understand how to create a brand. So I created this this document that really runs people through a lot of the things we talked about today. So it's called Your Client Getting Brand Blueprint. And we can put that in the show notes, I guess.
Yes, we'll put everything in the show notes so that they can contact you, they can download that and sign up for it and learn more about you that way too.
Yeah, that'd be great. I love to connect. So my, you know, my goal in everything is to have conversations with people because, you know, it's just nice to be able to help. I'm a big helper. I don't try to be a nurturer too much because I actually have a lot of that. So I just bring my disruptor forward most of the time. It's my protective mechanism.
I hear you.
I love to connect. Yeah, I do love to connect. And, you know, I'm happy to, people want to text me. My number is 646-345-6671. I'm always here to respond, answer questions, help you get clear on, you know, if you wanted to continue to work on a brand, what do you need to do, that kind of stuff. But you'll find a lot, there'll be a lot of helpful stuff in the Client Getting Brand Blueprint that'll get them to start to think about it, you know.
Perfect. And thank you so much again, Anne, for being our leading lady today. And a special thanks to our audience, both in the U.S. and internationally. And we'll be back for another Women Lead Radio show on Monday at 9 a.m. and next Friday at 2 p.m. It's really been my pleasure to be your host today. And thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the flip side.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.